words. If at all, just be praying for those. Just the prayer requests, you can pray about these scriptures. I'm sure we'll pray at the end. Brother Luke, I'll probably turn it over to Brother Luke, and people can come forward, or maybe we can bring a box to you. We can pray over these scriptures, but prayer requests you can be praying about is that these will get the entire project done and assembled over the next 2.5 months. And that we would be able to get all done, and then be praying for them, safe travel, obviously, for these to get back to Ohio. But then as we load it, that you would just be praying for the container, that there'd be no fire damage to these, John Romans, there'd be no water damage. I don't know, I've seen them more recently, but if you look at videos, if you see a video of a shipping container or a boat that carries the containers, some of the, I've seen videos of them just falling off, the containers falling off the boat and going into the water. Pray that that wouldn't happen, that these would be able to make it there safely. And we can even be praying for the people in the Philippines that will be receiving these. The missionary, his name is Brent Gellis. Be praying for him as he coordinates the campaign of passing these out, and just overall, everything that's going on. There's people in the Philippines right now who are, these are going to be making their way so they can be passed out to in 6 months' time, that they have no idea they're going to be getting a Bible. We could even be praying for their soul right now, that God be preparing their heart to receive it, so that when the word comes to them, that they would have, we don't know what type of heart condition that they will be in, but that they would be prepared, the Spirit would be working, so that when they receive the word of God, possibly for the very first time, that they can be enlightened to who Jesus is, and that they can know who he is as their personal Savior. That's the goal. That's why we do it. Even if we put together 380,000, we send it over, and only one person gets saved, that would still be worth it. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I know you said, I've heard people say that they want to see that for people here in Acton, Indiana, and Indianapolis, but we also want that around the world. We just want people to be able to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So that's what we did. So thank you for your help, for everyone who came out, helped fold covers, stuff, staple, put up with me yelling at you. So just thank you for your help this past weekend. And that's what we're going to be doing. I do have a cart in the back. After we pray over thing, we'll be praying for these scriptures. I do have a cart so that the four or five of us men, one can grab the cart and we can get it into the trailer that's kind of pulled up here. We'll go to the side door, get them packed up, and then I will head on home. So thank you for your, again, thank you for your involvement and just for your the time that we've had here over the last 2 days. It's been great. So we had a great turnout, and we'll just be just excited to see what God's going to do with this. And then, so that's kind of there. Just prayer requests, again, prayer requests for these. You can pray for me and my family as I travel. And again, prayer requests, my youngest son is going to be having leg surgery in about 10 days. So if you just wouldn't mind praying for that, it's going to be on the 22nd, October 22nd. His name is Cameron, and he will be having leg surgery. So again, I probably went into more detail in the Sunday school hour. I won't do that now. I'll probably just, we'll get into the message this morning. But if you have any questions or anything, please feel free to just ask me any questions afterwards, and then we will just we'll jump into this message this morning. So John chapter 1, let's read the first 14 verses. John 1, 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray this morning, then we'll jump into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here this morning. Thank you for everyone that's come out. Please just be with us now as we go into your word. Lord, please just speak to our hearts. I have nothing in and of myself that is worth speaking. Lord, please give me the words to say that are from you. And Lord, please just fill us with your spirit so that we can be changed by your word. And the whole purpose that we come here this morning is to be challenged by your word. And it's the whole reason we gather here is because of you. Lord, please help us to not leave us here the way that we came. Help us to be challenged by your word. Help us to be changed by it. Help us to grow from it. And Lord, let everything that's said and done honor and please you. And let's lift you up and you be seen greater. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come this morning. Here we have the title of the message is An Introduction to Jesus. Have you ever been, whenever you have friends or family, have you ever been introduced by friends or someone that you kind of just sit there and like, what kind of introduction was that? There's been times maybe you have someone says, hey, I want you to introduce someone. This is my best friend in the whole world because of, and they go on dot, dot, dot because of this. Or have you ever been introduced by someone you're like, that's all they said about me? Like it could be like, hey, this is someone that I went to school with. And you're like, we've been friends for 15 years and that's how you introduced me, is that we just went to school together? There's times we all have maybe been introduced by someone. We're kind of like, that was a kind of an interesting way that you would introduce them. Well, this morning, maybe just a quick challenge. How would you introduce Jesus to someone who has never heard about him? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of, we think about, hey, like if we think about the John and Romans that we put together, the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans, if they open it up, a lot of the John and Romans have a it's like a guided way where they have underlined passages. I'm not sure if these are, but there's a lot of our John Romans, especially the English ones and the Spanish ones. It'll say, hey, turn to this page, and it kind of will walk them through the Romans road and says, hey, let's go to these verses. But someone who has never, doesn't have that, they're handed a John Roman. If they turn to the very first page, they're going to come to John 1:1, and this is their introduction to Jesus. And how would you introduce someone to Jesus? When we come here to John 1, we see that John here, that's his whole goal in the first 14, 15, first little bit, he's introducing the reader to Jesus. He is starting his gospel different than any of the other gospels have been started. If you go to Matthew and you go to Luke, they both start with genealogies. Isn't that our favorite part of reading the Bible, is going to a long genealogy? You're like, yes, I can't wait for this. But that's just how Matthew and Luke start theirs out. Context-wise, they are more towards a very Jewish, their readers are going to be Jewish people. And they are trying to connect, I'm going to get it wrong if I try to say which one does, but both of them are trying to connect back to, Matthew may go all the way back to Adam, and then Luke may go all the way back to David, but they're trying to connect to the Jewish, did I flip it? Okay, flip it the other way, like I said, when I try to say it on the spot. But they're trying to connect to the Jewish reader, hey, this is how Jesus has a lineage in the to Adam, and we can go through Abraham, and this is how we see his lineage. And the other one's trying to go all the way to David and say, hey, this is how he meets the Davidic covenant. And they're just trying to show all this connection, say, hey, this is how I want to introduce Jesus to a Jewish audience. And here in John, he's not necessarily speaking to a Jewish reader, probably. It's more probably going to be more Gentile audience. And so he's not starting with a genealogy. He's wanting here, he's laying some different groundwork. Mark, he jumps right into the action. He goes straight to Jesus' baptism. All the different gospels start with a different way of how they want to start their book. But again, they're all saying, hey, let's talk about Jesus. And they're all coming about it at a different angle or a different way. And one that kind of just shows that God allowed the different personalities of the authors to come through when they're talking about the same person, the same account, and a lot of them overlap. And it's just neat to be able to see how that is. But again, each gospel shows a different picture or a different, they talk about Jesus in a different way. And here we see John, he's wanting to introduce Jesus in a very specific way and lay some groundwork maybe for a Gentile audience. But again, what is the point of an introduction? You ask. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I Googled it, and Google never gives the wrong answers. Google says the point of an introduction is, or this is probably from ChatGPT, which is also very reliable. It says a good introduction includes your name and purpose for being there, a brief, relevant background, and a highlight of key skills or qualities that are relevant to the audience and the situation. Again, John here, he's trying to lay some groundwork in his introduction of Jesus as to why the reader needs to pay attention to who Jesus is. He wants to lay down some who he is, what's the purpose of Jesus being there, what makes him relevant to the audience and to this situation, what is his background, and why does the reader need to pay attention to who Jesus is? And the reason I believe he's starting it this way is if you go through the rest of the book of John, everything hinges upon the first 14 verses of him saying, hey, this is who Jesus is. Because if we go to the end, we know what, when you go through the book of John, we're not going all through of it this morning, we're just going to say here in John 1, but you go to famous verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You go to, and he talks through, there's multiple I am statements that Jesus is claiming, where he says, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world. He's going through all of these things, and he is claiming things about himself that if Jesus is not God, the rest of the book would fall apart. And the whole point, he's laying this groundwork. But he's laying this foundation because the rest of the book hinges upon the first 14 or so verses where he's going through and he's basically saying, Jesus is God. Because if Jesus is not God, the rest of the book doesn't matter.
Right.
If Jesus is not God, what's the point of us being here and saying that we put our faith and trust in Jesus?
Right.
Because him being God is one of the most fundamental, is a fundamental thing that comes to our faith in Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus was not God, he could not have died on the cross for our sins. So he's saying, hey, let me just introduce everyone. Here's a genealogy. Matthew and Luke are doing that. Mark just jumps right into the action, and John says, let me take a few verses here and let me just talk about who Jesus is. And it's important for us to look at that, because sometimes when maybe this morning will be a good time for us to just stop and reflect and just say, let's just look at who Jesus is. Because we can all benefit from just reflecting on who Jesus is.
Amen.
Reflecting on who God is. And sometimes maybe when we stop and we really meditate, we really think about this, when we really see Jesus for who he is, we will introduce him to other people. Because when we really just stop and think about, wow, we have the God of the universe, he sent his son in flesh to die on the cross for us. When we really think about God, when you just look at creation and say, hey, there is a plan in place, there is a creator, and he cares so much about me that he sent his son to die on the cross for me, that means something. He didn't just die for me, he died for other people. They need to hear about that. And sometimes we have to, it can be challenging if we don't think about that all the time. We can get complacent, we can kind of let people go by, and we don't pay attention to what we're here to do. And that's to tell other people about Jesus Christ. But we need, if we're always putting Jesus and thinking about him and meditating upon him, that's a good thought, because it will just drive us to say, you know what? Jesus is so great. I need to introduce him to other people.
Amen.
But here we're going to look at one. We only have like really two main points this morning. But one of the main points that we're going to look at let's look at Jesus and his key qualities. Like I said, in that definition of what makes a good introduction, it talks about a highlight of key skills or qualities. Let's look at some of them. We're going to look at Jesus' attributes here that he reveals about himself in these first four or five verses. And that attribute is something that's a characteristic or an inherent part of someone or something that is very key to who Jesus is. Again, let's go back and look in verse 1. We start seeing attributes of who Jesus is. It says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, it's not in the beginning the Word was created. In the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word. When we see Jesus, his eternality, it says the Word, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is outside of time. He is eternal. We don't serve a God who was created, because if you think about it, if we serve a God who was created, some higher power would have had to have had created him, and that means that he is not the highest power that we would look to. So in the beginning was God, his eternality, his character. If you kind of look at that verb there was, it's a continuous ongoing state. It says, hey, it wasn't that in the beginning he became, he was there before time was started. We see his eternality. And that, again, it's key to that we see that Jesus is eternal. We see that his position or his location, and the Word was with God. It wasn't that the Word had to be brought to God. He was with God already. We see that he is equal with God. We see his position. He was with him. We see and the Word was God in verse 1. He said, we see that Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity. We see his divinity. We see his self-existence in all of this verse. And it's very key, because if Jesus, again, like I said, if Jesus is not God, the rest of the book does not matter. If Jesus is not God, our faith in him is misplaced. But our faith is not misplaced because Jesus is God.
Amen.
Verse 2, we're going to see that there is no difference between God and Jesus. He has to keep repeating it over and over again, because today there are people that will look at Jesus and you cannot deny that Jesus lived on earth. Like, historians know that Jesus existed, but there's a lot of people who just want to say that Jesus was just a good person. He was just a teacher. He was just maybe a prophet at that time. But we know that that is not just the case. We see here, the same was in the beginning with God. There's no difference between God and Jesus. And that is very important for us to realize, is that Jesus was with God the entire time. He wasn't created at the time that he came and was lived on earth. We have to see that he was with God. We see in the Old Testament, there's multiple times that we see a pre-incarnate Christ come, and it keeps showing that God, that Jesus has been around forever. And we keep trying to see these characteristics about him, because it really builds who he is and shows what he can do. In verse number 3, we see his power. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We see that he was involved in creation. Isn't it interesting that Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 almost start the exact same way? In the beginning. And Jesus, it talks about, in, you know, there's multiple different passages we can go to where it talks about the involvement of the Trinity in creation. But here we see, hey, Jesus was involved in creation. We see that his power, with his Word, he spoke things into existence. And we have that same Word that's just as powerful in written form for us today. We don't have a list of things that may or may not be true. We have God's written Word for us, and it still has the exact same power that can change our lives and other people's lives today. That is the whole reason that I came here this weekend, is that we believe that there is power in God's Word. That's why we're putting it together to send it around to the Philippines. I didn't come up with a fun activity for your church to do for about 6 hours. I can use my time other ways to come up with fun activities. But, you know, we view it as, hey, this is what we need to do, because there is power in God's Word and we're entrusted with it. And we see that there is power in God's Word, in Jesus' Word. And we see that in here in John 1, there is power. We see his power. In verse 4, we see that he holds life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see a lot of things about Jesus, who he is, in these first 4 verses. Why is this information relative or important to the audience? Why is it relative or important to the reader at that time? Or why is it important to you and to me this morning? It's important because we do not want a Savior who is limited. Do you want to trust in someone who may or may not be able to fulfill on their promise? No, we don't want that. We don't want a creator who is not the most powerful being out there. We don't want to enter into, if I can say it this way, we do not want to enter into a contract with the God of the universe if we don't know for sure that it will last forever. Would we want, when this year something came up where I had to... At our house, I was looking at some things. You come across home projects, maybe ones that you were planning on, or you come across ones that you were not planning on, but it has to be done like right away. We were looking at the windows in our kids' room. One was like, they were getting pretty bad, and we were seeing like active mold growing in the windows, and it was kind of like maybe some health problems are not great. You're like, I kind of need to replace these windows. So I had kind of a salesman come out, and he was giving me quotes on windows. And personally, I don't like salespeople. very pushy. It's just like one of those, like, they're doing those tactics. They're like, let me get you to agree with me so you can get on the same page and I can make you pay this outrageous price for my product, because clearly everyone's product is the best product out there. But regardless, either way, I can just make it difficult for salesmen, because I'm like, they're like, don't you agree with us? I'm like, eh, maybe. I'm just trying. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm just trying to be difficult because he's really pushy or whatever it is. But whenever a salesperson is trying to get you to buy their product, they don't start out by saying, hey, we have like 2 years of like the best quality out there. You don't look for someone who's like only like, you know, only 2 years, you've been around for 30 years and no one likes you or no one trusts you. You look for someone who has a proven track record. They're like, hey, we've been making windows for the last 50 years. We're the top rated in the area. You want someone who has a good track record, right? You don't want someone that you can't trust on it. With the staplers, I always will joke with people. They're like, hey, is my machine going to work? And I'm like, well, it's working for me right now. When I get 5 feet away from you, the contract of it working is pretty much null and void, and it could stop working at any point. But you want contracts, or you want something you can trust in. And if we're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ, we want to know that he can keep what he says he's going to do. He says, hey, I am going to save you. It's not I'm going to save you, or you can have salvation for roughly 10 to 15 years and you might have to do it again. We don't want to count on that. He says, hey, I'm going to save you. You're going to be mine forever, and no one can take you out of my hand. And you know, why is that important? It's because of who Jesus is. It's all in the person and the character and the proven track record of who that person is and how we can put our trust in them. And because of Jesus being who he says he is, being God, we know that we can put our faith and trust in him.
Amen.
The reason for all this groundwork, again, like I said, is to show that Jesus is God. All of the wonderful things that John will talk about in this book hinges upon this introduction, and he's trying to connect the dots for the audience that Jesus is God, because if he isn't God, he couldn't do all of these miracles. If he isn't God, he cannot be our Savior. But because Jesus is God, he does all these miracles that we read about here in the Gospels and in the Word of God. Because he is God, he can do miracles in our life today. And because he is God, he can be our Savior.
Amen.
And that is the main point. He said, hey, I want to introduce you to who Jesus is. Let me tell you about his background and who he is. Why? So that you can trust in him, because that is important. But here, we're going to go to a second point that we see here this morning. It says, I see that there is a choice here. In verse 12, we see a choice. It talks about, in the next several verses, 6 through 9, it talks about John the Baptist a little bit. It talks about how Jesus coming in, about who he has another descriptive title given to him. An interesting fact, not part of the message at all, Jesus is not named Jesus until like verse 17. Verse 17 is the first time that Jesus' name is brought up. The rest of the time he's introduced as the Word. The next time is the Light. He's not introduced as Jesus, even though he's talked about the entire chapter. It's just an interesting fact. Not part of the message, just interesting fact, throw it out there. But we see here he's describing all of that, and we see here verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talking about his family, the Jewish people. He came unto his people and they received him not. Verse 12, but says, but as many as received him. There's a choice here. If they wanted to receive him, they did. There's always a choice. And we have that same choice here this morning. As many as received him. Every day you wake up and have the choice of saying, hey, am I going to accept Jesus Christ? Not for salvation. If we're saved, you don't have to do it every day. But I'm saying we have the challenge every day to say, hey, am I going to look to Jesus and choose him? Or am I going to reject him and go my own way? We have that as believers. We have that choice every day. But people in this world, they have to have that choice of they're either going to choose to accept Jesus, receive him, or they're going to reject him. This morning, you have that choice. If you're not, I'm not going to just sit here and think that everyone is saved here this morning. I don't want to assume that. But this morning, if you are not saved, you have the choice this morning. You have an opportunity right now. Are you going to accept Jesus or are you going to reject him? But as I talk about that, sadly, there are to receive or to reject Christ, you have to have the opportunity given to you. And what I mean by that is, sadly, there are people in different countries around the world who have not been given that opportunity. Because no, they have not been given the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They don't have, they sit in spiritual darkness. But guess what? Because of your work for about 6 hours, 3 hours on Friday and 3 hours on Saturday, there's going to be people in the Philippines who are going to be given that opportunity in a few months because of the work that you did. You came out, you folded some covers, and church, again, thank you. Pete, we want to make sure that everybody has that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you know what? It's up to us to go out there and to do that. God, He has revealed Himself through creation. Everyone knows that there is a Creator out there. And everyone has, God is not sending people to hell because He does not love them. It is up to His people's responsibility to take what's given to us and go to other people around the world and give them that opportunity. And so it is our responsibility. We have been given it to us. We have to give it to other people. And so, but there's still people who have never had that opportunity, who have never had it clearly explained to them. And again, your work is going to help people in the Philippines who have never had that opportunity to receive that for the very first time, that they can be introduced to who Jesus is. And again, church, I say thank you for that. We have to realize that there are, we have as many as received Him, you have to choose that. And whenever we do receive Him, something wonderful happens. It says to them, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. Isn't it a wonderful fact when we look down in verse 4, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Creator of the world loved us so much that He was willing to leave heaven, leave who He was, and He came and dwelt on this earth so He could die for your sins and for mine. And that's who Jesus is. That's who we put our faith and trust in. That is the light of the world. That is Jesus. That is who we can put our faith in. And that's a wonderful thing. And here this morning, we have seen that we have seen in the first 14 verses who Jesus really is. John is trying to introduce Him to us, and we have the opportunity to introduce Him to other people. This morning, as we start to wrap up, sometimes we just need to take the time that we have. Take time out of our busy schedule to turn off the noise, to turn off the news, and just to stop and meditate on who Jesus is. Yes. There's times that we can become so busy, and I know I can do it myself. There's a lot going on. Maybe there's a lot of things that we're going through, difficult times, we're going through difficult situations. Instead of trying to, we like to distract ourselves instead of just acknowledge what's going on. Right. We can distract ourselves with the news, we can distract ourselves with social media, we can distract ourselves with activities, but sometimes we just need to take time to stop and think about who Jesus is. We have it's starting to get colder, which I like. I don't know how everybody is about the weather, but I enjoy that the weather is getting colder. Amen. We have beautiful weather outside where you can just kind of just stop, go outside and just look at God's creation and just say, let me just think about who Jesus is. Because if you just stop thinking like, hey, there's a God out there who loves me, who created everything that I see. And sometimes you can just stop and you can just meditate on who Jesus is. And sometimes we need to do that. Because we can take for granted, or we can just brush over and be like, John 1:1, I know that. John 3:6, it all just becomes routine or just common things to us. But sometimes we really think about that and we really think about who Jesus is. We can put Him in a place that He deserves of high respect, high honor. And we can just, when we look at who He is, it may drive us to share Him with other people. Maybe there's someone, as I've been talking about, maybe there's someone that came to your mind that you need to introduce to Jesus. Maybe there's a family member, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor that you need to introduce to Jesus. Maybe this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe this morning you need to be introduced to Jesus today. We all have that choice. Everyone in the world has the opportunity to accept Jesus or to reject Him. We don't have a third option. There's no way of getting out of that. It's you either accept Him or reject Him. And John here this morning, he was laying all this foundation of who he is to give you all of the reasons as to why you need to trust Him. And I know that we're in church and there's a lot of people that are like, yes, I know who that is. But maybe we, again, like I said, we just need to take time, Look at who Jesus is, meditate on that, and allow who he is to drive us to, one, just thank him for who he is, and also for us to introduce other people to him this week. Introduce others, our neighbors, our coworkers, and say, hey, I need to, because of how great Jesus is, I need to introduce others to him as soon as I possibly can. Amen. If everybody would bow your heads, close your eyes. Thank you for your attention this morning. As Brother Luke comes for the invitation time and for the dedication for the Bibles afterwards, we just had a simple thought from John 1 this morning, is just this introduction of Jesus. These few verses that he was going, is again, like I said, he jumps into the story of everything going on in the baptism, but he wanted to lay some groundwork about why that's important, and I think it's important for us to reflect on that as well. But this morning, hopefully this word challenged you. Maybe you can meditate on who Jesus is this afternoon and thank him for who he is, and just thank him for his word. And maybe there's people now that you can be thinking about who I need to introduce Jesus to. I'll pray, and then Brother Luke will come for the invitation time.